You wouldn't want to see the backside of my preacher. You don't want to see the backside of my preacher, so I'm just going to turn the podium around so that you can see the better side. All right. Before I proceed, I want to take a minute just to say and recognize our veterans that have served in the military. And we want to say thank you to you. And if you're here today and have served in our armed forces, you can please stand to your honor.
Today, it in a way, worshiping last night the way that we did prepared us for worshiping today. And so I just want to acknowledge that and just say it was a wonderful time together. Today I want to bring a message entitled Serve, Leave, Return, Repeat. Serve, Leave, Return, Repeat. And for the passage today, it's going to come out of the Old Testament book of Joshua. If you have your Bibles or you want to look it up on your devices, do that. Joshua chapter 24, and I'll read from verse 14 to verse 25. That'll be the story out of which I'll share from God's Word today. Next Sunday, I will be preaching the last sermon in this series, which is replanting lessons in the Old Testament. So as a church here, the Lord did a work in us over the last couple of years, and so we're a church that has been replanted. We are on a journey called replanting. And basically what that does for a church is it does two things. Number one, it reorders our priorities, what's important to us. And then the second thing it does is that it reconnects us to the community around us. And what I mean by that is that it reconnects our hearts to the hearts and the lives of people that live right near us. And so that's been really important. And it's manifested itself in some renovations that we've done to our building to make it a place where we can enjoy gathering and create a space where we feel good about inviting guests to come and join us on Sundays and at other times of the week, but it's also given us some new opportunities for being out in the community and different kinds of ministry and activity out in the community. So we're looking in the Old Testament for some lessons from ancient times. I'm talking about thousands of years ago, but from God's Word that can speak into the journey that we're on today. Now, only God's Word could do that. Only God's Word could take something so ancient and bring it into today with such meaning. And so I want to share today some more replanting lessons from this passage. I used to have this idea that as I got older, that there would come a great arrival, that things that I hoped would become a reality would become a reality. Things that I thought ought to be true of someone at my age would become true. That somehow in my aging process, I would finally arrive. Some of my middle schoolish tendencies would just kind of fall away, and I would become just that mature adult that I was supposed to become. You know, that kind of thing. I would just one day arrive, and it would be wonderful. This place that I had always dreamed of, it could have been with my work vocationally, that I would get to that place in my vocation that I dreamed that I would arrive at. Maybe it was with my family, whether it was children or grandchildren or maybe even financially, I would arrive at this place that I'd always dreamed of. Or maybe it was my spiritual growth, that spiritually I would arrive at that place. It would just kind of happen. That kind of thing is supposed to happen, right? Well, my experience has actually been different. It's not really been an arrival so much as I have found that my life has been kind of a cycle. Just, you know, wash, rinse, repeat, you know. Just kind of a cycle. I get to a place that I'm excited about, and then I have an experience where I stumble and I lose traction. And then I get to a place where, in time, I rediscover some new motivation. That kind of cycle has just seemed to play itself out over the course of my life. Maybe life, then, is not about the arrival at a destination as much as it is about discovery as we go along. Not about perfection, perfecting things, perfecting myself as a child of God, but about my learning or my growing to know the God that created me. So I recognize this cycle at work in my life. Get to a place, lose traction, rediscover new motivation. Maybe you've seen a cycle in your life. Well, in our scripture today, I see maybe a similar kind of cycle happening with that old people of God, the Israelites. Let me read the story, and then I want to try to show you what I think I see here in this passage. So I'm going to pick up in verse 14, and it's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but as I've encouraged us before, when we hear the Word of God, if we don't have it in front of us, let the words just kind of sink in, and maybe sometimes when I hear a passage, I'll close my eyes and just let it kind of create a mental picture of what's happening. So this is a little bit of a narrative. So imagine that there's like a leader of a group of people, and that leader is standing before the congregation of people. And so there's a group of people that are listening to the leader. All right, now the fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, this is the leader, his name is Joshua, and he's speaking to the people. He says this, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods that your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and while they were in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want to pause here and say this is recorded one time, but I almost feel like that Joshua had been saying this over and over to the people. He had been inviting them into this life of faithfulness to God. Lay aside those little gods of the lands and the peoples that you have dwelt among. Lay them aside and serve the Lord only. And it came to a head. And what he was really saying is, all right, I've said it as many times as I'm going to say it. Choose this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, people, I want you to know, just for the record, we're serving the Lord. I've been telling you over and over again to lay aside these little gods. And I'm going to do it one more time. But you need to know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Continuing on in verse 16, then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Now, I want you to hear just a little bit of lip service here, okay? Just work with me here. Hear this as a little bit of lip service from the people to Joshua. Verse 19, well, Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. You've never been able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been so good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, verse 22, "You are witnesses against yourselves then that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes," they replied, "we are witnesses." "Now then," Joshua said, "now then, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God," and not just serve him, Joshua will obey him. So on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. That is an agreement between the people and God, a covenant. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them the decrees and the laws or the expectations that God had of the people. Now, three times in this reading, the people declare that they will serve the Lord. In the first declaration, they add to it. They say, "The Lord is our God. He's done all these things for us. He's led us out of Egypt and out of bondage and slavery. The Lord is our God. He has protected us and provided for us. We'll serve him, and the Lord is our God." And on the third declaration, they add this: "We will obey God. We will obey the Lord." And so there's this back and forth between Joshua and the people. Well, in verse 14, Joshua tells the people to throw away the gods their ancestors had worshipped. Joshua acknowledges the ugly truth. You guys are saying that you will serve the Lord, but let the truth be known. You have not been doing that. Actually, you've brought along with you all the gods that your parents worshipped. So you say that you'll serve the Lord, but I have to acknowledge the ugly truth. People, you've not been doing that. Well, in verse 14, Joshua names, you know, that they've brought these gods along with them. Well, in verse 23, Joshua goes on and he tells them to throw away the foreign gods that are among them. So it's not just the gods that their parents had served that they brought along with them. It's actually the gods that they have decided that they want to serve among the people that they dwell among. In this passage, it's a people called the Amorites. And there are other peoples that are in the land that they're moving through. And so what the people are doing is they're, in a way, giving this lip service to God. We'll serve the Lord. But in actuality, what they're doing is they're just, as they go along, they're just kind of adopting and gathering to them the gods and the ways of living, because that's a part of it. It's not just little idols that they were bowing down to. It's actually adopting a way of living, values and customs and practices that were ungodly. So it wasn't just worshiping the gods, it was the accompanying lifestyles that came along with it. And as the people made their way through the land, they were just kind of what they saw and what they liked. They said, "Well, hey, let's just adopt it for ourselves." So Joshua is really trying to capture the attention of the people and say, you know, you give great lip service here, people, but you're not living it. And I want to tell you, people, Joshua says, I want to tell you, the Lord will not put up with this. He's a jealous God. He wants all of you. He wants your full devotion and your full service. He will not do well with just giving him half. And so Joshua is honest with the people. And so the people are called out. You've held on to your parents' idolatry, and you've clung to your own idolatry. And the people were doing good as they were freed from their place of bondage in Egypt. They knew the Lord, and they testified to this. They knew the Lord had freed them, and they knew that the Lord had shown great signs and wonders. They had experienced what we talk about wanting to experience here, God's presence, God's power, and God's provision. They had arrived at an amazing place with God. But then there were the gods that caused them to stumble, a way of living that was not God's way that lured them. They had served the God, but then they left him to fall to the gods. And they did this again and again and again. Joshua knew it, and the people admitted to it. So then in verse 19, Joshua speaks the truth. People, you really are not able to serve the Lord, even though you say you can. And the people say back, but we will serve the Lord. And there's this back and forth between Joshua and the people. But you can't. But we will. But you can't. But we will. And this cycle of serving and stumbling goes on and on. But there's another part to it, and that is the returning to the Lord. So there's this leaving, there's this serving, and there's this leaving, and now then there's this returning to the Lord. Rediscovering God. Rediscovering a new motivation to know the Lord and serve the Lord and obey Him. And on that day, Joshua made a new covenant, a covenant for the people with God. That's the return. That's the return, this new covenant, this new kind of relationship. It's like redefining the relationship between God and this people. In the experience of Joshua and the Israelite people, I see some lessons for us in replanting. There was always fluctuation with God's people. They never really arrived at that place of promise. They served him, but then they left him. And then they returned to him. And the cycle repeated. You could say that cycle made them unfaithful. But what I would rather say is that they were not necessarily unfaithful as much as they were discovering who they were in their humanity, in their sinfulness. And they were discovering who God was in His grace and in His patience. Replanting has a cycle to it. And I want us to see that it is not so much this cycle, it is not so much a sign of our humanity and our unfaithfulness as much as it is an indication that this cycle is causing us to rediscover and learn about the Lord that we serve and about His grace. And we're also learning about ourselves on that journey. This cycle of serving and leaving and returning. So what might this cycle look like for us in our replanting? So think about it as serving. Or think about it as us arriving at a particular place that we are wanting to arrive at. What might this cycle of replanting look like for us? Well, I want to put it in these terms. I think for us, that place that we arrive at is something that I describe as taking ground. So in our ministry of replanting, one of the things that I believe that God is doing is leading us out in the community to deal with the fact that out in our community, there is a kind of darkness that kind of lays out in the lives and the homes of people that live around us. Frankly, there's some darkness that kind of hangs over my life as well. And this work of replanting is pushing back that darkness so that the light of Jesus can come in. And so as a replanted church on this journey with the Lord, what this is doing is we are arriving at places where we are pushing back darkness in the community and in the lives and the homes of people that we come to know. So I talk about that one of the places that we want to arrive at is that sense that we are pushing back darkness, not just playing the game of church, not just showing up at church because it's what you do on Sundays, but we actually recognize that there's a spiritual battle in this world, and we're participating in it as a replanted church, and that we're taking back ground that the enemy has held, and that's a place that we would arrive at, right? We might call that a victory in the life of someone or in the life of the community, where there has been something that was dark, something that was hard and had a hard impact on people's lives. It was damaging to people. And we saw victory in that area. And we arrived at that place and we could praise the Lord about it. But then, church, what can happen is that when we are doing that battle and taking that ground back from the enemy, we can get to a place where we rest. We get tired. We rest and we relax. I'm not talking about the kind of God-given rest. I'm just talking about we kick back and take it easy. We rest and we relax. And sometimes we vacate. We were all involved. We were active. We were involved in that good fight. But today, I'm not involved in it anymore. It's been more than just resting and relaxing. Fact of the matter is, heck, I just vacated. I just kind of went home and stayed home. So we go from victory to stagnation. We're just stagnant. Sometimes that can be our church, and sometimes that can be us. This cycle of taking ground and experiencing victories and then kicking back and resting and relaxing and vacating and stagnating. But then that's not where the cycle ends, thank God. Thank God that's not where it ends. And thank God he doesn't just leave us to that kind of cycle. But he also begins a new thing in us. From taking back ground, to vacating, to reigniting. To reigniting, to returning, to re-engaging with the Lord, to coming back to worship, to giving ourselves to his word and to prayer, seeking his will for our lives, having a desire in our heart only for him. Everything about us is directed toward the Lord. That return to him, that reigniting of that fire in our heart that once burned, and God does a work and reignites that fire and re-engages us again, and there is a return. I'm sharing this message today because, church, I want us to see that we might find ourselves in different places of a cycle. Replanting is not so much just a destination as much as it is a discovery as we go along. Discovering some things about us and how we operate and how we respond and how we sometimes kind of vacate and what it takes for us to be re-engaged and to rediscover the Lord. Learning some things about us as we go along this replanting journey, but also learning some things and discovering some things about our awesome God. And the fact of the matter is, in this old story, there was a people that had experienced the Lord, his greatness, the greatness of his presence, his very presence, the Shekinah glory of God resting upon the people, his very presence, his great and amazing power, and his faithful provision. The people had experienced God directly, and yet they still were involved in that cycle. But thank God, there's always that return back to him, because the Lord does a work in us to draw us back to him. One thing Joshua said is true. Our God is a jealous God, and he will fight for us. He will seek to fight the little g gods that seek to lure us away from him. He will come and fight for us, and he will, in a way, lure us back to him. Serve, leave, return. Repeat, repeat. Lord, today I pray that on this journey, you will walk with us. You will teach us. Lord, help us to discover what you would have us to know about ourselves, individually, and our families, our church, our history, to learn about ourselves, to be honest about ourselves, and to own our sin. But Lord, also to know that you are leading us on a discovery of you, that this replanting journey is a way for us to experience you in a new way, a dynamic way, an amazing way, to rediscover you, Lord. Not just a story about you, but to rediscover you. And so, Lord, this day, I don't know where each of us are on this journey, but I pray that we would end up at that place where our hearts are reignited for you. And maybe there's never been a fire in your heart for the Lord. And I pray today that you would not leave this room until you discover in your own heart a fire that burns for the God that made you and the God that loves you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.